Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted retailer nationally for 2021.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. David Hussey, the Melbourne Stars coach, is going to answer Scoop's call to get on and tell us what is going on with the BBL. But as important, in fact, some would say more importantly, he's going to give us an insight into what's going on with the test match kicking off in about 5 days' time. And, well, it may not be official, but it's officially unofficial. But Ben Horn from the Herald Sun, News Corp, has declared that Travis Head has got the nod ahead of Usman Khawaja.
He doesn't get stuff wrong, Ben.
Well, I suspect he's on the money. He wouldn't have gone with it if he hadn't. Mm-hmm. Other issues to discuss tonight, Scoop, and I'm going to allow you to open the batting on where we should take the program. Pinksway continues to develop. Jordan DeGoey, Travis Head. Davis Cup's getting a big run, particularly in the Australian today. But where do you want to start? Because the lines are open. 13, what's, I'll get this stuffed.
133.
133. 693. Is the Harcourt's open line. If you want to take it somewhere else, it's a Friday night. You take it wherever you would like. And the best caller is going to win a slab of Urban Myth, a new alcohol-free beer by Urban Alley. Scoop.
I want to start on Jordan DeGoey, who's due to face court next Wednesday. He'll do that via video link. Of course, his court hearing is in Manhattan, where the alleged offences occurred. Ryan Vague is his manager, happens to be his brother-in-law as well. He decided to call up Dwayne Russell on SEN today, out of the blue, and had some things to say about the current situation with Jordan and Collingwood.
I understand the club had to make a decision. I definitely think that the stand down probably shouldn't have been imposed on him. It would have been a hard position, and Collingwood did have to make a decision. However, it was expressed by myself to the football club to allow for some time for more facts to come to light while that decision was made quite quickly.
I'm staggered that he's called up a radio station 5 days before his court case. I would be thinking that, I don't know Ryan at all, I would be thinking that Jordan would just want to stay under the radar as much as possible. Does he really not understand why the club's stood him down? This guy has had chance after chance after chance, Jared. You know that I'm a big players man. I'm pro players at all times. Collingwood have stood by Jordan DeGoey, even after he lied to the coach and made the coach apologise at a press conference after originally saying he got bitten on the hand by his dog.
Yep.
He's been caught drink driving while on his P plates, which is bad for anyone, let alone a footballer. He got suspended then. I think he got fined $10,000. The club continued to stand by him. Then he's gone on a training camp. He's got drunk. Far be it for me to have a go at him for that. We've all been there. Or a lot of us have been there. And he's been caught up in a situation where he's facing four charges in a Manhattan court.
Mm.
And his manager's calling up saying that he tried to get him at training on Monday. Why?
Not sure why, Scoop. I don't agree with the sentiment. I think he would have been better off just basically keeping mum and saying nothing at this stage. I mean, Jordan DeGoey has had the most serious of the allegations drop, which is a big plus. He may end up with a minor penalty. He may end up with a major penalty. We don't know. The fact that he's not having to be in New York, I think, suggests that it's going to be at the lesser end if he's found guilty. But that said, if he is found guilty of something, he's still facing a charge. And I think the club handled it absolutely perfectly.
Agree with that.
Shut it down, put him on ice, didn't take a side, just shut him down for getting into that situation.
Do you think that they should suspend him even if he's found innocent of all charges?
Oh, if he's found innocent, I don't think they should suspend him. If he's found guilty, I think they will suspend him. It'll cost him a couple of games. It'll cost Collingwood a couple of games. I mean, ultimately, Collingwood's a big loser here as well. I don't think he'll get sacked.
Let me ask you this. If a Melbourne player, doesn't matter who, if a Melbourne player was caught down at the Sereno Hotel in mid-December, getting drunk and getting into a fracas, you think they'd suspend him? I think they would.
Well, they would suspend him if he was the guilty party. We've got to wait for the facts to come out here. I mean, don't need to rush to judgment on this. Let the facts emerge. And then there's always time for suspension. So I don't think you need to suspend people until you are totally conversant with the facts. When I say suspend, I mean suspend matches.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
I think at this stage, Collingwood's handled it well. You keep your distance. You've got yourself into this mess. We've supported you all the way. So you're on your own until we know exactly what's going on. So I think Ryan Vaig is he's on a different planet to the one I'm on. I think he's handled it well. Coming back 3 or 4 days early means absolutely nothing. It's totally irrelevant. And I'm not even sure why he put DeGoey on the agenda by ringing up Dwayne without being invited.
Oh, it is fun talking to Dwayne. But 133-693, if you want to have your say, if you're a Collingwood supporter, I think a lot of people are just fed up with the multiple chances that Jordan has been given. But we move on. Peng Shui is the topic that we're all talking about in international sport right now. And the IOC today, Jared, the International Olympic Committee, have said that they've had a second video conversation with Peng Shui, and she's doing quote-unquote fine. But they're not releasing any of the footage. Can you tell me why?
Don't know the answer to that. It's a very complex situation. I think what we do know is that she's alive. I won't say she's alive and well, but it would appear. I spoke to a person who has close contacts in China last night. They're aghast at what has happened. They're aghast at the WTA. They think it's hurting tennis itself. Peng Shui, according to them, is fine.
That's fine then. Show us she's fine.
Exactly. And that's the issue that we've got with this whole thing. We hear that she's fine. People in China, the Chinese Tennis Association, came out strongly criticising the WTA, who they think has overreached on this particular case. Interesting that the ATP didn't follow suit. Interesting that, you know, the ITF haven't followed suit. There'll be a lot of Chinese people coming to Australia, a lot of Chinese tennis players coming to the Australian Open. One of the sponsors of the Australian Open is an alcoholic beverage from over there. I think they are one of the significant sponsors. So it's a very politicised situation, as we know, that the IOC is the most political organisation in the world, it would seem. And they're dealing with it the way they think, and that is taking it, the human approach is the way they've described it. But it would be fantastic if somebody could ring up independent of the IOC and see and chat to Peng Shui and see how she's going.
Yeah, well, independent media is sort of not allowed in China, really.
But she's got contacts. I mean, she's got contacts she played tennis with. She's not talking. And it'd be great if she could. I mean, getting on Twitter means zero. But getting on and talking to a former player, for instance, or a former partner in the doubles, or the like, just to get somebody outside of the political arena to give a second opinion on this would be fantastic, because it's building into a classic Zeitgeist, I think is the right word. I mean, all of a sudden the whole world is looking to, take a diplomatic boycott, and it's becoming a huge, huge issue if, in fact, she is okay.
You say that it's a complicated issue, and I understand why you would say that. But at the root of it, Jared, it's actually quite a simple issue. She has made an allegation about a former person of political power. Since then, she has not been independently seen or heard from. Now, that is astonishing.
Well, the IOC would refute that. They say independently they're interviewed twice.
Well, that's fine. Show us.
Well, we've seen the first one.
Because, Jared,
we've seen the first one.
Let's be honest. The IOC doesn't have a great track record for being honest or open or independent.
I'm not here sticking up for the IOC.
No, I know.
But other people in China that have spoken to a person I know quite well, they say she's fine. Now, there are definitions around fine. I accept that.
Yeah.
And it'd be great if she could actually acknowledge how big this is becoming and somehow put it to bed. Ring the WTA.
Yeah, why hasn't that happened?
I don't know.
Let's get to the calls. 133-693 is the number. Len's in Melton. G'day, Len.
Evening, guys. Jordan DeGoey, why are we talking about him?
Well, he's quite a noteworthy player at Collingwood. Some would say he's one of their best players and holds a big hope for them winning their next premiership. And he's found himself in some trouble. You don't think we should be talking about him,
Len? But the bottom line is, Len, we're talking about him because his manager rang a talkback radio station today, one of our old mates here, Dwayne Russell, and asked or suggested that Collingwood let him come back early.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is that charges have been dropped. He's got a court case to face, and why don't we leave it until after what they find first?
Well, that's what I think we'd all agree with, but clearly his manager had a different point of view, a different perspective.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's his manager. But I don't agree with him going on radio either. But, I mean, I think he should have been just left alone until everything's over.
You're calling the supporter then?
I am. But I'd say the same thing if it was a Melbourne player or any player from any other club. I mean, people go after these guys like people went after the cricket player, you know, and look what happened there.
Well, I don't think anybody is going after him, Len. That's the point. I think Collingwood has just said, enough's enough. We'll just deal with the facts when we know what the facts are. And on the 8th of December, we're going to know what those facts are. But quite clearly, he's not going back to training. He's on his own until post that court case.
Thanks, Len. Len in Melton giving us a call. Before we get to a break, we've got David Hussey coming up, the Stars Melbourne coach. The Melbourne Stars coach.
Yep.
It's a personal view. I think that even if he's exonerated from all charges, I think this will be his last year at Collingwood.
Yeah, I think that's a big call this far out. I mean, he's fourth in the best and fairest last year. What about if he wins the best and fairest this year? Are you going to tip him out still?
I think they're going to make a stand, Jared. I think he's had too many chances.
Well, they may make a stand, but I'd be staggered if he puts in a great performance, has a clean skin this year, if he's playing anywhere else other than Collingwood, if that's his choice next in 2023.
Time will tell. We're here for Macca's 30 Days, 30 Deals. David Hussey is going to join us next. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy and for Kia. We're just about to be joined by David Hussey. He's the coach of the Melbourne Stars. Jared, they play on Sunday in their opener against the Sixers. They're just getting the bags off the plane. So before that, you want to talk about the IOC statement about Peng Shuai?
Well, I think just for our listening audience, this is what they just printed out. It's gone around on email to all concerned. So this is their stance, because ultimately they are the only ones at this stage that Chi is talking to, and they are quoted
here
as saying,
"Which is interesting in itself.
We share the same concern as many other people and organisations about the well-being and safety of Peng Shuai. This is why just yesterday an IOC team held another video call with her. We have offered her wide-ranging support, we'll stay in regular touch with her, and have already agreed on a personal meeting in January. There are different ways to achieve her well-being and safety. We have taken a very human and person-centred approach to her situation. Since she is a three-time Olympian, the IOC is addressing these concerns directly with the Chinese sports organisations. We are using quiet diplomacy, which, given the circumstances and based on the experience of governments and other organisations, is indicated to be the most promising way to proceed effectively in such humanitarian matters." I think that's enough. People will get the tenor of the email from that. But ultimately, they conclude by saying this was a meeting reconfirmed in yesterday's call. Our human and person-centred approach means that we continue to be concerned about her personal situation and we'll continue to support her. But the very fact that they say that they are still concerned about her personal situation,
it's a weird statement.
Is almost at cross purposes to
it's a weird statement.
Them telling us she's okay.
Yep. I don't trust the people in China, and I don't trust the IOC. I need to hear from her. Let's move on to a brighter topic, and that is the Big Bash. It starts this weekend, and our Melbourne Stars, we're Melbourne Stars fans here. I mean, of course, we barrack for the Renegades, but not quite as much as we barrack for the Melbourne Stars. They start against the Sydney Sixers on Sunday night. It's in Sydney. David Hussey is the coach. They've just got off the plane and landed in Sydney. Welcome, Huss.
Thanks, Sam. Good to have you on board too.
Oh, yes. No, we're long-term Melbourne Stars fans. Tell us about this game on Sunday night. Obviously, having the likes of Zampa, Maxwell and Stoinis all in the squad at this time of the year on the back of their T20 World Cup win is a huge bonus.
Massive bonus. There are three key players there. Our barometers on how the group's going, if they perform, generally goes a long way for us to winning the game of cricket. Arrived in Sydney just then and, we're going to play the reigning premiers in the Sydney Sixers, who are a very smart and veteran team, and they know exactly how to play. So it's up to us to stop them playing their game and play the Stars way.
David, like every coach, you're taking it one week at a time, but let's just put the situation of the Stars into some perspective.
Oh, okay.
When you look at sport, the first is always goes down in history.
Right.
Now, the America's Cup was a massive moment in Australian sporting history because we just could not win the bloody thing.
It's two nights in a row with John Bertrand. Okay.
They kept changing the rules, but yep. John Bertrand and his team broke it.
Right.
The Masters. Yep. All of our greats tried, but it was Adam Scott after many, many very close ones from the Shark and a few others.
13, I think.
He broke the duck, if you like.
The demons are coming.
The collie wobbles. Like for year after year after year. Five grand finals in a row under Hafey. They couldn't get it done and others. And finally, in 1990, Lee Matthews and Tony Shaw break the curse, the collie wobble curse. The demons in 2021 broke a 56-year curse. And the Melbourne Stars are starting to get into that same realm, David, and this is where you come in. I mean, they have been close many, many times and yet can't quite drink from the chalice.
Well, firstly, thank you very much for that education in sport and encyclopedia. That's wonderful. Some of those names and numbers I didn't realise, but this is the 11th year. We haven't won a final. I haven't won the grand final, but it's definitely the focus every year we play. And I truly believe that once we win one, I think the monkey will be off the back. I think that's one of your commentary gold.
Billy Brownless,
Billy Brownless. Then we can win not only one, we'll win two, three, four in a row. But more importantly, can you get the monkey off the back for St Kilda Footy Club and maybe they could win one in 66?
Oh, 66 awesome hit the boundary. It could be a double whammy for you guys. I was a long-suffering St Kilda supporter for 18 years before I moved into the game myself. So I understand your pain and let's hope that your Saints aren't far away. But I understand the pain of the Stars because – I mean, Eddie was the original president, being very close a number of times, been in the final a couple of times. Surely it's got to be close.
Yeah, we've got the talent to do it. I think every year we go in reasonably top or one of the top favourites to win the competition. And the squad that we've put together is, it's probably the most talented squad I've seen. So it's really up to us to go out and perform day in, day out. It's a very long season, so round one's not really going to make or break the season, but it is paramount that we get off to a good start and play the Stars' way, which is be aggressive, play an entertaining brand of cricket, and something that the fans will always come back to or tune in and watch us play because that's why we want to play our game of cricket.
So, Huss, dumb question. When the season actually starts, what does the coach of a Big Bash team actually do? What's your priority from the start of the season?
Well, I've had the boys since the 1st of December, and it's more about defining roles for the first, basically, game, two games. And they actually change through injury, through loss of form, through basic structure against opposition teams. So the first game's probably taken me 4 days to figure out how we want to structure up against the Sydney Sixers. And then we get a couple of injuries, which you have to supplement players in. So it's rather difficult, rather challenging, but by tomorrow night, all the players will know exactly what they need to do in order for us to win the game. And fingers crossed we don't get any injuries and turn up Sunday afternoon and play our brand of cricket, which is an exciting brand of cricket to play.
How complex is it, David, to prepare when you don't really know whether you're going to bat or bowl?
Yeah, it's a really good point. I'm an advocate for the opposition team. Like in baseball, the opposition team should get to choose what they want to do, like in baseball, they get to bat first. Yep. So then it's fair the whole way through, home and away. It is difficult because there's only one constant in T20 cricket, which is the score that's being set. And then the team sort of has to change the way they structure up in order to chase those runs down. So there's really only one constant, and it is quite important to toss. And especially if there's dew on the ground, that definitely takes away from the strength of the fast bowlers who can't really grip the ball, and the spin who really can't grip the ball and turn the ball, which is paramount for them as well. So it's quite a crucial part of the game.
Pump for Marcus Harris. You've obviously worked with him quite a few times before, David, and now he's back in red ball cricket.
Fantastic that he gets the opportunity in Test match cricket again. He's got the pennies in the piggy bank and deserves another chance. His record in Shield finals or in the big games in Sheffield Shield cricket is phenomenal. Second to none, really. And he definitely should get another chance. And I think him playing at home series in Australia on the pitches that he's actually accustomed to, I think he can actually do well and be one of the top scorers for Australia throughout the five-test series.
If you had to make the call, would it have gone Khawaja or Head?
No, Trevor's head for mine. I just think he offers a little bit more, not just with the bat, I just think with the ball and in the field. I think he's quite a good fielder as well. He's also captained South Australia for a number of years now, and he makes big hundreds for South Australia, so I think he definitely gets a chance at number five. And I think if the selectors give him the belief that he can play for a long period of time, I think they'll reap the rewards later on.
David, I've got your name down. We've got the Masters, Adam Scott. We've got the America's Cup with John Bertrand. Lee Matthews with the Collie Wobble, Simon Goodwin with the Demons,
David Hussey.
And David Hussey with the Stars. It rings well. Let's hope it plays out that way. Good luck. Have a great year.
Thanks, Huss.
Thank you. Thanks, gents. Take care. Bye.
David Hussey there, the coach of the Melbourne Stars. We're going to speak to Nathan Freeman later in the show.
He's a good young kid, too.
He's got a third opportunity, yep. We think.
Good luck.
He's on the cusp. We'll be right back on Sports Day.
Good evening. Australian health authorities have determined there is no need to bring booster shots forward as a new strain of COVID takes hold. Professor Paul Kelly says people should still wait 6 months between their second and third jabs. Victoria today recorded 1,188 new coronavirus cases from 63,000 tests. 11 people have died. Foot traffic is skyrocketing at weekends in Melbourne CBD, up 80% of pre-pandemic levels. Although weekday figures remain low, the Lord Mayor Sally Capp says she's confident they'll build as more and more office workers head back into the city. Two men have been charged over the theft of $7 million worth of cigarettes at Altona. A B-double trailer was stolen from a transport distribution centre which contained the cigarettes in September. Police executed 14 warrants at properties this week, seizing weapons, cash, tobacco, steroids and electronic equipment. More news at 7.
Time now for a sports update for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. Tyrepower.com.au.
Certainly learnt a lot about myself, my Indigenous teammates, past and present, and certainly about the community. So a little bit of time has passed, and I've been able to do some things since the event, and it's something that's going to forever be there. It's never going to go away. And
Taylor Walker there on Triple M Radio this morning in Adelaide, coming back to the club.
Would have been a very confronting experience for Tex. I'm glad he's back, and I'm glad he's going to continue to play on. Because
do you think he should be playing next year?
Absolutely, I think he should be playing, and I hope he plays for a couple more years. Because
really,
his form last year was all Australian up until probably this incident, and then unfortunately. That totally distracted him, and you can understand why. But there's plenty of footy left in Tex if he can stay healthy.
Not sure if you saw the score between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Oklahoma City Thunder without Josh Giddey today.
When I saw the score, I thought to myself, I hope Josh Giddey's not playing.
They lost 152-79. That is a 73-point margin. It is the biggest in NBA history.
Oh, that's unwatchable.
I think
would have been a three-point fiesta. Is that the right word?
I think
celebration. I think festival.
That's what they call, Jared, a good old-fashioned shellacking.
That is a shellacking of the highest order, Scoop, and I think they'll be taking their mouthguards to training this week.
Nathan Freeman, former Pie and Saint, to join us next. Welcome back to Sports Day. Well, our next guest is a man, Jared, that all of our listeners would have heard of in some way, shape or form. He was taken at pick 10 in the 2013 draft. By that stage, the Magpies. He's also been on St Kilda's list. He has had some treacherous luck with injury, and he actually went into player management under Paul Connors, and now it looks like he could be getting a third opportunity at AFL level. It's an exciting story.
It's a really good story. I've always hoped that Nathan would find a way to get some game time, some consecutive games, and I like this because...
Nathan Freeman, by the way.
He could well be the first player to cut out the middleman. He could manage himself if he can get himself onto a list.
Oh, I like it.
Let's welcome the man who's about to change football. Welcome to you, Nathan.
Jared, Sammy, good to see you, mate.
Great idea. You can cut out the middleman, be your own manager and save yourself 5%.
It's not a bad little idea, actually. I hadn't actually thought of that. I was going to sit Paul down and a few other companies and try and they'll have to do their own little pitches to me. But no, I think I'm happy with Paul and Geish and Robbie at Connors. They're good and they're good at their job.
We've followed you with great interest, obviously, and disappointment. We were talking about this only a couple of days ago when you and Scharenberg were picked by the Pies. It was two picks in the top 10. It looked, for all intents and purposes, to be the rebuild of Collingwood was going to be focused around you two guys. Sadly, both of you have been struck by horrendous injuries. But you are getting another opportunity. Tell us about how that's come about.
Yeah, so I suppose once the... It's funny, like once the Hugh Greenwood situation sort of arose at the Suns,
yep.
And there was obviously a spot there to be filled or a need for them, and we sort of, you know, contact was made, and we sort of thought for both parties it was a good idea if I, you know, went up, and they were, you know, they have a need for a mature midfielder, so there's a gap there, and I suppose that's exactly what I am, and I think sort of the time, you know, 12 months ago I probably wasn't even thinking of getting back into the system, but it's funny how things happen. I think my body's sort of matured and you know, injuries are a thing of the past. And I can still play and playing against AFL players and playing well. I sort of thought I'd add a bit more to give, and I'm only 26. So I thought, yeah, it's probably a good opportunity and have a crack, and the fire still burns. So why not?
Well, 26, you've got a lot of footy left in you. If, in fact, you can get yourself onto a list.
According to Jared, you've got about 14 more years left in you. I'm not sure if you've been listening. Jared thinks that everyone's playing older, Nath.
Oh, wait and see. See how the body goes. But, mate, I've probably only played two real full seasons of footy since I was 19, so you might be onto something there.
Tell me, your time at Frankston, how did that evolve?
Yeah, so when I left the Saints, so Danny Ryan, to starters, he's the coach at Frankston, and I suppose when I left St Kilda, I wanted to go play for a standalone VFL club, still had the, you know, the fire burning to get back on a list.
Yep.
And we'd sort of been keeping in contact because he coached me down at the Sandy Dragons back when I was an under-18 player. So we got in touch and it was a good fit. I'm a Bayside boy, so Frankston was, you know, geographically made sense. And sort of what they were building down there, they were coming off some really lean years, you know, a year coming out being, you know, completely out of the VFL system. But I think just going back and having opportunity, I just liked the vibe of the place and I thought I'd be able to play some good footy there. So it sort of made sense. And I've been there for the last 3 years and, yeah, love my time and we're sort of on the up now as well. So that's probably in turn helped my footy as well.
So what's changed that the hamstrings are still attached, that they don't keep ripping off the bone? From memory, that was your major issue. Have you changed your preparation? Have you changed your rehab? Have you changed your physio? Have you changed your conditioning? Or is it just age and maybe things are just maturing a bit?
To be honest, like if I could put it down to something, I would. But I think it's more so just age, I think, and a bit of maturity. And I think I sort of play in a way and train in a way that I know that that works for me. And I've found things that work. I've probably gone the other way. I'm probably doing less than what I was when I was in the system. You know, the first time it's probably just a trial and error thing. Like I've found what exactly works and I do those things and I don't need to overdo it and overthink about it. And I go out and play. Like, I mean, I was saying to someone the other day, like when I was playing, I was more of a, like an F1 car, like highly tuned and any little thing would sort of set me off. And now I'm sort of like a rally car. I can cop the bumps and the bruises and, you know, backing up each week and just getting out and just playing footy at the end of the day, because you can overdo it sometimes off field in your preparation, your rehab and that sort of stuff. It's just finding what works and, you know, the 2 hours on the weekend's what matters, and I just get myself up for that, train hard, and that's probably it. I've probably just narrowed my focus and stuck to what works and keep it simple.
It is one of the great mysteries. There's so much money being wasted in sport through hamstrings, and not just AFL football, and it's quite frustrating, I'm sure, for you, Nathan, that people that are probably half as flexible get no hamstring problems, and you're probably very flexible, and you ping them for about 4 or 5 years in a row.
Yeah, it's just luck of the draw, really. Like I'd never had a soft tissue injury or a major injury before I did my first one down in Geelong in the NAB Cup game. So it was, I think it's just one of those things. It's just unlucky. I had my first ever hamstring injury there, and then it's just sort of snowballed and. Yep. One thing led to another, but like I've been really good now the last 2 or 3 years. I haven't had an injury, touch wood. So that's the other thing. Like if I thought my body wasn't up to it, there's no way I'd be doing it, because I've got outside of footy, I'm really content, really set. But you know, probably the last couple of years, the fire burns in me again, and I think I'm way better placed now to make an impact at AFL level and sort of be an asset to a club. So I think it, in all aspects, it sort of makes sense for me to go back in and have a crack.
Are you nervous, Nath?
I don't know. Probably not nervous, just more excited. I think I know, being in the system for 5 or 6 years beforehand, I sort of understand how it all works and how an AFL club works, a pre-season, a season, and the week-to-week sort of grind. But I'm probably just more excited to get back into it. Like, I loved the 24/7 aspect of being an AFL player. Don't get me wrong, you know, working, doing what I'm doing now, working and playing VFL is awesome. But I think, you know, I crave the competition and being around people and sort of day-to-day, you know, making a, you know, collective effort to achieve something, you know, achieve success. So I just thrive in that environment, I think. So I'm more excited to get back into it. And however long it is, it's, you know, it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years. It's I'm going in with open eyes and, yeah, going to give it my best crack.
So how much are you funding this? Are you paying for your own flight up there? Obviously, you haven't got a salary. You're not on their list. But do they fly you up to have a crack? Or are you funding the whole lot? Accommodation, your meals, etc.?
Surely Mark Evans would find a spot for him, wouldn't he? Just any,
let's find out.
I'd assume so. I've spoken to Craig Cameron, and I think we've still got to work out the finer details. But, mate, I said to Craig when I spoke to him, mate, you just tell me where and when I need to be at the club, and I'll be there. I'm a big boy. I'm 26. I can sort myself out with those things. But, if I had to pay to get up there and have a crack, I would. In all honesty, so it's those sort of things aren't a big deal to me.
So there's one spot left on the list. How many guys are actually flying up to punch on to see who gets that list, that spot?
I'm not sure. I think there's definitely a couple of us going up. But yeah, I couldn't tell you a number. I'm not sure. I haven't spoken to Craig about those sorts of things. But like whoever it is, and you know, they obviously deserve a crack, and I'll just, you know, all I can do is control what I can control, have a crack, be a positive influence around the club and train well. And, yeah, hopefully it goes my way, but there's a bit of work to do before then.
You'll be up for it. It's hard to believe, Nath, that you've only played 2 games at senior AFL level. You've had a tortured career with injury. We know that's been well documented. We're all so happy for you, and we're rooting for you that you get the spot. Good luck.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Jared. Thanks for having me.
Can I leave you with a tip for hamstrings?
Oh, yes, please.
Given that we just spoke to Nathan Freeman, I didn't want to moz him. But I always thought that skipping was fantastic for hamstrings. And you may say why.
Skipping?
I can remember coming back to pre-season, and for some stupid reason, I did an excessive amount of skipping.
Okay.
Well, the next day,
that's weird,
I had these lumps in my hamstrings that just would not go away for a week. They were so tight. So, I mean, I wouldn't have thought that you use your hamstrings when you're skipping all that much.
I would have thought calves.
Exactly. Or quads.
Or a little bit of quads, yeah.
Yeah, but you are clearly using your hamstrings in a decelerating motion, eccentrically. And when you tear them, it's when you use them eccentrically, normally, when you decelerate. That's where most hamstrings are done. So, if you have got a hamstring problem, try skipping.
All right, well, on that note, I'm off to get a skipping rope. Dr. Healy and myself will be back on Monday. Enjoy the weekend, everyone.